Senator, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you doing?
Hey, we appreciate the time so much. When you heard that Osama bin Laden had been killed, not only as a citizen, but as the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, what did you think?
I had a sense of relief and I had a sense of satisfaction, excuse me, that justice was done.
You know, I found it interesting. I thought here was a 10-year time period that had passed since 9/11, yet the U.S. was working on this, fighting through, and it seemed to reestablish that the U.S. is someone who handles its business, and when it comes to military functions like this, are the best in the world.
Well, that no one's got that kind of capability that we have. No one comes close. But also, in addition to the extraordinary competence and capability and bravery of our forces that pulled this off, was a huge amount of training and a major decision by the president, a very, very gutsy decision, which was to go after him in the way where we could prove that we got him. And that meant that we delayed just laying a bomb on that facility or a missile because we never could have proved that we got him, even if we did. You had to go in and get him in person to make sure that you either arrested him or killed him. And that's what the president, that was the risk he took, because they were pretty sure that he was there. They weren't 100% sure. And the president decided that they would take the time to train, to have backup, to look at all of the possible ways that it could fail, to guard against those failures, and then to ultimately take the time so that they could prove that if they did get them, that in fact they did get them. And it sounds like it's easy, but believe me, there was a lot of advisors that said that they should not wait for that. They just shouldn't take that chance. They should just lay a missile on that facility.
How much aid does Pakistan get this year, and in your opinion, should they continue receiving funds from the U.S.?
Yeah, well, the funds that they get are a mixture of funds. Mainly, the funds that they get are funds that go to advance their military in a number of ways, their security forces. And some of it is useful to us. For instance, They have expenses in guarding the oil that comes into their ports that go to us, the gasoline that goes to us, the diesel fuel that goes to us in Afghanistan through the country of Pakistan. So that there are costs that are involved, and that helps us, and it is worth reimbursing them. I don't call that aid, but it is part of the aid package. And then there's also some of the training that we do with the Pakistani Army. And where they are using that and along the border, that's helpful to us. Now, one of the problems that we have is that they don't go after the terrorists that are openly on their soil. You know, they deny that bin Laden, that they knew that bin Laden was there. Now, I find that hard to believe, but they deny it. But what they don't deny is that they know that other terrorist groups are on their soil. One is the Haqqani Network, so-called. They know where they're at. We know where they're at, but they won't go after them. There's another group down in a city called Quetta in Pakistan where there is a group that that organizes these raids across the border by these suicide bombers. And they know where they're at, but they don't take action against them. So the big problem we have with Pakistan is that they do have terrorists on their soil that move against us across the border, and whatever support we give to Pakistan that reduces that, or where they are willing to take action against terrorists, and there are some actions they have taken against domestic terrorists, or where we're giving them supplies which help us in Afghanistan, that is something which I would continue to support.
Let's switch our attention to Michigan. Should Michigan have high-speed rail, and who's going to pay for it?
Well, it's already appropriated funds. That's number one. If Michigan does not apply for these funds, they're going to go somewhere else. The governor of Florida decided he didn't want the funds. His loss is our gain, and high-speed rail has been an economic stimulant. Infrastructure such as faster railroads, better stations, more comfortable rail passenger cars, those are pluses in terms of economic development. And so I thought that we were wise to apply for the funds that already are there. which the governor of Florida did not apply for. So his loss, their loss in Florida, was our gain as far as I'm concerned.
Could those funds have been used for infrastructure to pay down the national deficit?
No, they've already been appropriated. Those funds are going to be they're going to be used for high-speed rail. This was a decision which we made as a Congress that we're way behind the rest of the world in terms of high-speed rail. And if you can move people and goods more efficiently and quickly, it's just like an interstate system. The infrastructure on the railroads is important, just the way the infrastructure on our regular roads and on our water systems and sewer systems, that infrastructure is important.
Senator,
to build and maintain.
Senator, does Detroit need a new bridge to Windsor, and who should pay for that?
I think that you can justify a new bridge in terms of the commerce. And I have supported, the system which the state supports, which is to have a second bridge downriver, which will be funded, will be a publicly owned bridge, and the Canadians are going to pay for it, and then they'll be reimbursed through tolls. I think that is a fair way to approach a need.
Senator, the price of gas is about $3.91 here in the mid-Michigan area. What can you do to help us deal with these gas prices? Is there any way you can help them get lowered?
Well, part of the price of oil goes as the result of speculation in oil futures, it's called. And the last time we looked at this on my subcommittee of investigations, I said that about $20 of a $70 per barrel cost was the result not of supply and demand for the oil, but the buying and selling of paper, the future sales, the contracts for the future delivery of oil. And so we got to go after that, and we did. And now that oil, by the way, is $100 a barrel, but on a proportionate basis, that would probably mean that somewhere around $30 of that barrel is the result not of supply and demand again for the product, but of the contracts for the future delivery of that product, where the people buying and selling those contracts are speculators and they're not the end users. They're not people who actually want the oil or want to sell the oil. They're buying and selling paper contracts. So we're going to go after them again, Tony. We just think this amount of speculation is wrong. It has to be controlled. It is now subject to control by the regulators under the so-called Dodd-Frank legislation, and what now has to happen is that legislation needs to be implemented by regulation, and that's the process that's underway.
All right, final question for the senator. You will deliver Lansing Community College commencement address. What do you think the role of community college should be? What kind of classes do you think they should offer?
Well, I'm not an expert on the kind of classes that any kind of college or university should offer. I don't want to give advice on that other than to say that community colleges play a critical role in our country. They make higher education accessible and available to large numbers of people that otherwise would not have access, both in terms of location and cost. They play a special role in terms of job training and retraining in terms of new technology. So they play a truly important role in our whole educational setup, but far be it from me to advise on curriculum.
All right, Senator, as we let you go, anything new on the Asian carp front?
On the what front?
Asian carp, anything?
Well, the battle continues, and I think the second barrier probably is just about open.
Senator, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk with you soon.
Sure.